Good evening, church, and welcome to our Days of Encouragement series. My name is Jandre Dippenaar, and today we'll be taking a look at the book of Acts, chapter 4. But before we do that, let's just quickly run through chapters 1, 2, and 3 again. So in Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus appearing to his followers and disciples in bodily form, or rather resurrected bodily form, and he ascends to the heavens, the echo of the promise of the Holy Spirit still ringing in the disciples' ears. In chapter 2, we finally see this promise fulfilled. In dramatic fashion, the Holy Spirit gets poured out on his followers, and this results in 3,000 people being saved, kickstarting the first church, in a sense. In chapter 3, we see the apostolic signs and wonders growing and increasing as the Spirit works through the apostles. And one specific story is highlighted where a man who was lame from birth got healed. He was sitting outside the gate at the Jerusalem temple, which is the center of Jewish worship. And this results in Peter preaching the second sermon and more people being saved. But in the book of Acts chapter 4, it starts with the results of this dramatic event where the man lame from birth was saved. It's described as becoming evening, and we see the Sadducees enter the scene. Now, who are the Sadducees? The Sadducees are considered Jewish aristocracy, almost the upper class of the Jews who worked with the Romans for political gain. And they denied the resurrection. So the apostles' teaching that Jesus was resurrected is problematic for them. So the apostles get detained for the night. The next morning, the hearing starts, and the Jewish leaders ask, "By what power or by what name are you doing these things?" And Peter replies in three ways. The first point is, he says, God resurrected the Jesus that these leaders killed, doubling down on the point of the resurrection. Secondly, it is by the name of Jesus that the lame man was healed. And thirdly, it is only by the name of Jesus that anyone can be saved from the consequences of sin in their lives, from their personal guilt. So the leader's response is quite telling, actually. They do not acknowledge the miracle and think how they should change their life as a result of it. They suppress it. They try to suppress the truth. So they let the disciples go, but they warn them. They severely threaten them not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. So let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 18, and then we can read together there. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So why did the apostles choose to keep on speaking? You know, why can't they, at great risk to their very lives, stop speaking about Jesus? So the first reason would be quite obvious. Not speaking about God is disobedience. Okay, so they got this command that they are to declare the gospel, spread the gospel to all nations and all generations. And they do not want to, as verse 19 says, listen to man more than God and disobey God. And in lockdown, we sort of saw a global conversation happen in Christian circles about whether there is a commandment from God for the church to meet in person. And I mean, it's a complex question and there are sides for and against it. But the fact that people were speaking about whether they should disobey government in order to honor God is a good thing. We need to put a high price on obedience to God. The second reason, I want to tell you a bit about one of my favorite apps. Okay, so we all probably use WhatsApp as a messaging app, but there's an alternative. It's called Telegram. Okay, it's one of my personal favorites, and there's some really great things about it. You know, when you get those 5-minute voice notes, right? And the people who send those voice notes, you know who you are. On Telegram, you have an option to speed up those voice notes and listen to them at double the speed, you know, so you can cut the time to 2.5 minutes. And I mean, another reason, you know, when you want to organize meeting on a WhatsApp group, and then you say, okay, well, if you can come on Wednesday, post a thumbs up. If you can come on Tuesday, post a finger. You can come on Friday, post a hand. And that's not even considering the time or the place yet. So it's a mess. Telegram has integrated polls. So you can suggest times and places and venues and dates, and people can vote for which one they choose. And the majority can establish the meeting. Done. Let me do one more reason. You know when you send a message and there's a spelling error, okay? And you're like, oh man, this completely ruins the message. Let me send a star and retype it. Where does the star even come from? No one knows. And then you send a corrective message. But on Telegram, you have the option to edit sent messages that's already been sent. So it's very convenient. Why am I telling you this? Am I being sponsored by Telegram? No, or at least not that I know of. I'm telling you this because I think Telegram is really great. And if we all use Telegram, it would be better. And I think the same type of thing would be true for the apostles when it comes to the gospel. I think Telegram is so great that I can't help but speak of it. In the same way, the apostles thought the good news is so amazing, they can't help but share it. And the same should be true for you and me. Is the gospel something that we are passionate about? Can we articulate why it's so great to us? Do we want to share with others why it's so great to us? And if it isn't, and if you don't, maybe this is a reminder to go and reignite that fire, reignite that passion. So how did the apostles keep their fire burning? Well, Acts chapter 4 tells us through prayer. The apostles got home from the hearing. I mean, these were the people that killed Jesus not too long ago. And they were carrying on in his spirit. So that is, they were probably quite concerned. So they got together, got the followers together, and they started praying. So in verse 29 we read, "Now Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So what is our encouragement today? The same spirit that was poured out on the apostles around 2,000 years ago, that same spirit is in you if you are a Christian. And this spirit is the helper. God sent him to help us. So keep on being bold for Christ's sake. Keep on sharing the truth, speaking when you need to speak, doing the right thing, even when no one is watching. Keep on obeying God rather than men, valuing him above the opinions of man. And to help you do this, to that end, I want to encourage you to ask God, to ask the Holy Spirit to give you boldness, to give you the strength that you need. Just like the apostles did so many years ago. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for sending your Spirit to us, Lord. You are indeed the helper. And we ask that you would empower us and give us boldness to speak when we need to speak, Lord. To reignite that fire of passion if it has grown cold. To help us do the right thing when no one's watching and when people are watching. We thank you, Lord, that you are always with us by your Spirit. And that is an amazing gift. We pray that you would bless us in this week and you would guide us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See you tomorrow.